Giving gifts has its benefits, but as commentator Reynolds Price recalls, receiving them can have its costs.
In the Depression years of the 1930s and 40s, my father was far from well paid. He shifted jobs often, and he, my mother, and I moved incessantly. So whatever my failings, I was not a boy spoiled by wealth or the complacency of a rooted household. I longed for that very rootedness, a steady place of my own in the midst of my family's love, but it would be years before we were grounded in a lasting home. In the face of that prime uncertainty, my parents labored each Christmas to lavish on me every reasonable gift I asked for, and then something extra, some surprise that would raise my happiness to a pitch that even I had not foreseen. And it was that very hunger of my parents which became the first emotional dilemma I remember. From the time I was 4 years old, the dilemma arose like this. We'd wake on Christmas morning. My parents would follow me to the lighted tree, and I'd feel the unblinking weight of their eyes as they watched me respond to the blazing outlay of unexpected gifts. Ungrateful though it may sound, the weight of their gaze was a genuine burden. That fourth Christmas, for instance, I'd requested an odd array, an Indian suit with feathered headdress, a Shirley Temple doll, Shirley was only a little older than I, and an imitation double-barreled shotgun. Neither mother nor father seemed dismayed by the gender complexities of such a list from their so far only son, and Santa manfully supplied me with all three. There are surviving photographs to prove it, me Indianized and gun-totin' with a smiling Shirley clutched to my chest. Ah, but they added something. With no signal from me, and perhaps as a slightly unnerved nudge toward manhood, they likewise provided a midget automobile, one of those pint-sized cars that I could climb into and pedal away. It was milk chocolate brown with a snazzy orange stripe, a deafening horn, and I hated it on sight. No known reason why. Yet even at 4, I'd managed to learn that I must instantly bury my disappointment. Neither mother nor father must see a trace of rejection on my face. It was likely my first real social success, that lightning acquisition of a skill I'd need forever. The skill of taking from loving hands, a gift I neither wanted nor needed. I came in time to enjoy my car and drive it often, but while I went on dressing in my feathers and telling Shirley my private woes, when the next winter came, I managed to offer the car to a boy who lived nearby in a huge, unlucky family. He took it without the least hesitation. Mother and father never chided me once, though they went on posing that same dilemma so long as they lived. And I went on hiding my complex consternation. The memory of it still haunts these short, dark days.
Novelist Reynolds Price teaches English at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina.